I'm not sure if it says more about me or the movie that every time I watch Alien, I'm left with the feeling that I want to spend a weekend on Nostromo. Seriously though, eat that shit food, have the coffee that's the only good thing on the ship, hang with the coolest and smartest chick in the world in Ellen Ripley, play cat and mouse with Jones the cat, dodge facehuggers, search for and run away from the alien, and beat the tar out of Ash. It would be a great weekend. And in this episode, I'm covering the horror classic, Alien. Welcome to Pop Culture Reflections, the podcast about all things pop culture from the 80s, the 90s, and beyond, and proud member of the You Run Podcast Network. Find this show and all the great shows at YouRunPodcast.com. Today, as I said in the opening, I am covering one of the classics, a movie that was made and released 45 years ago this year. I'm talking about Alien from 1979. The agenda for this episode is I will run through the film facts, my connection with the film, pros and cons, favorite scenes, favorite characters. I'll try to drop a character or actor into this film, talk about whether this is the director's best. I'll give you my overall summary, followed by some podcast highlights and This Week in History on Baywatch and Up All Night. So let's jump in to Alien. Released June 22nd, 1979, directed by Ridley Scott. Starring Sigourney Weaver as Ripley, Tom Skerritt as Dallas, John Hurt as Kane, Veronica Cartwright as Lambert, Ian Holm as Ash, Harry Dean Stanton as Brett, Yaphet Kotto as Parker, and Balaja Badejo as Alien. I probably butchered the name, but there you have it. On an $11 million budget, it grossed $108 million worldwide. It was an Oscar winner for visual effects, and it's a crime that it was snubbed for Best Picture and Best Director, as it truly deserved nominations at bare minimum. The synopsis for this film: in deep space, the crew of the commercial starship Nostromo is awakened from their cryo-sleep capsules halfway through their journey home to investigate a distress call from an alien vessel. The terror begins when the crew encounters a nest of eggs inside the alien ship. An organism from inside the egg leaps out and attaches itself to one of the crew, causing him to fall into a coma. It's got an 8.5 out of 10 rating on IMDb and a 4.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Alright, let's talk about my connection to Alien. So Alien is one of the early horror experiences for me. My memory had for years combined both the original and the excellent sequel, 1986's Aliens, directed by James Cameron. And a movie that I have even more of a connection with to and love for. More on that another time. What stuck with me all those years was the character of Ripley, one of the strongest female characters in the history of film, regardless of genre. And of course, the look of the alien. Early on, this movie had fascinated and frightened me. And as an adult, I marvel at the technical prowess and how well the themes and visuals have aged. I remember watching Alien 3 and Resurrection in the 90s and feeling disappointed. Having never gone back to those, I feel it's time for a rewatch and giving them another chance. I also remember in the 2000s being excited for Alien vs. Predator and how awesome this concept had to be. and being incredibly disappointed in that series as well. Now, I took advantage of the recent opportunity to see Alien in theaters for its 45th anniversary, and what a moment. Much like my life-changing experience of seeing The Exorcist in theaters last year, likewise, Alien in theaters is why I love movies. Hearing a great album is the closest thing I can relate to the power of a great film in the cinema. It's transcendent, and I say that with a tear in my eye. All right, let's jump into pros and cons. Pros of this film are so many. The visuals, first and foremost, right? This film looks as good today as I imagine it did for audiences back in 1979. Ridley Scott is one of the greatest visual directors, and Alien is one of his best to display his brilliance behind the lens. The lighting, the dark corners and the sharp edges, everything looks great. The sweat and water on characters' bodies, it's crisp and palpable. The alien looks amazing. Easily one of the best creatures put to screen. The score is ominous and at times off-putting. It pairs perfectly with the action. The film's build is excellent. Some may argue that the first act is too slow, but it's all about the build. The ship feels foreboding and claustrophobic. The chemistry and tension of the characters seems natural and believable. The threat of the unknown is haunting, and that use of the alien is perfect. We see just enough to feel the fear and anxiety. It never stays on screen too long to lose its mystery. The kills leave a lot to the imagination, which I think is its strength. Ripley, of course, is so fucking great. On this recent rewatch, I realized I ranked her way too low as a final girl when I did that list. She is possibly the best final girl. She is attractive, smart, brave, resourceful, and vulnerable. She had conviction and integrity and tenacity. And then what about poor Kane? But what a great moment both the facehugger attack and process and the eventual chest burst is. This had to be shocking in 1979. Then you got Ash. He's such an asshole. And a great secondary villain as the evil bot. His conviction is acceptable, however, as this is his objective. Of course, the use of Jones the cat is a great call, as it acts as a warning to the alien hiding in the shadows, camouflaged by the black of the ship. Of course, how can you talk about pros without including that final scene? It's outstanding and so satisfying. Ripley's vulnerability paired so brilliantly by her facing her toughest challenge of the film in her underwear is such a great metaphor. I could go on and on about my pros for this film, but I think I'll stop there. Cons. Okay, I can't. I just can't. I think this movie is perfect. Okay. All right, you pulled my leg. You pulled my arm. One nitpick. I don't care for the character of Lambert. Or perhaps it's the actor Veronica Cartwright's portrayal, or perhaps she's just overshadowed by Ripley. I'm not sure. I'll give you an example. When the alien has come for her late in the film and Parker is telling her to move so he can take the shot, she freezes and becomes so stricken by fear she doesn't move and causes Parker to come in closer and get killed. Her cowering is just annoying to me. But that's it. Otherwise, I think this movie's perfect. That's right. Absolutely perfect. Okay, favorite scenes. Well, the introduction to the crew as they slowly come out of their sleep chambers. I love the look and the feel of that scene. The simple but effective conversation by the crew establishing their characters and assignment. The exploration of that planet and the facehugger discovery by Kane is just amazing. That moment when the facehugger chokes Kane as Ash and Dallas try to remove it. Of course, you got the chest-bursting scene, which is iconic and moves the film into its next act. That gorgeous scene of I was about to say Kane, but I meant to say Brett. That gorgeous scene of Brett standing under the dripping water and that first shot of the grown alien, it just sticks with you. You got Dallas in the duck system and the aliens are reaching out. The reveal of Ash's identity and plan. And then, of course, that final fucking glorious scene with Ripley finally blasting that fucking thing into space. Such a great film, people. Alright, favorite characters. Alright, so I like Dallas, but I love Brett and Parker and their dynamic. The alien is so fucking cool. My favorite, though, hands down, is Ripley. She's everything you want in a hero of a film. Doesn't matter the type of film or the gender, she's top-notch, period. And Sigourney Weaver's performance, to me, is absolutely excellent. Now, I had a chance to ask the opinion of others on social media for their pick for favorite character in Alien and got some fun responses, starting with on X, at SinisterScoop6 from the great Ghoulish Gallery podcast that we featured last month on the podcast. Tasha shares a picture of her lovely dog, Ripley, and says this. To be fair, though, sometimes she acts more like a xenomorph. So, fun post from her. At Dewey Pod Monster, we got Jones the Cat. And from at Dissect That Film, Ripley, she's a badass in every movie. Okay, and then over on Instagram, from the Girl and the Gay podcast, another pick for Jones the Cat. And from Scott at You Run Podcast, we got Xenomorph or Ripley. So interestingly enough, we had quite a few people talking about the alien itself. So a lot of fun there. All right. So the category of dropping a character or actor into this film. So I've been thinking about this, okay? And the only actor I could even consider replacing in this film has got to be for the character of Lambert. Now, this might sound crazy, but what about Sissy Spacek here? Maybe I'm biased due to my love for Carrie, but I think she would be perfect and add a lot to that character and that performance. Is this movie the director's best? Now, this one is tough, as Ridley Scott's made a ton of great films. I like the movie Legend and Thelma and Louise and Matchstick Men and The Martian. I'm not a big fan of Gladiator, but as usual, it looks amazing. However, I think when it comes to this director's best, I think it comes down to this film and Blade Runner, and it might be a toss-up. Alien and Blade Runner running neck and neck, both look amazing, and they're each a masterpiece. Okay. My summary for Alien. Well, I just said it. It's a masterpiece. This is a pillar in horror. Easily the best sci-fi horror. It looks amazing and has great tension and great build. It's paced really well as well. It has some great characters and arguably the greatest creature in horror, along with the Predator. This film, for me, is 5 out of 5 stars without question. This is one of the greatest horror films of all time and one of the greatest films overall in the history of cinema.
All right, just a couple more points on my summary of this great film. And then we'll move on. So, let's talk about the score, okay? The score is underrated and excellent in this film and really helps with adding some tension in some scenes, but without relying too heavily on the score to do that. Now, yes, the first act is slow, but if you stay with it as a whole, it all works and is tonally perfect. For example, my daughter went to the theater to see it with me, and she was restless during some of the slow moments, but afterwards, she loved this movie so much that she said to me a few days later, "I want to watch Alien again." And trust me, that was incredibly satisfying for me as a movie fan, and specifically a fan of this movie. Now, my wife points out a key point to this film, that the whole crew should have listened to Ripley and everything would have been fine. And she is absolutely right. This is why Ripley survives and why she is the best character in the film. Now, I said I love the pacing and the tone. And as I've noted previously, this film does what any great horror film does. It gives us just enough on-screen views of the monster or the horror while leaving enough to our imagination to evolve into a study in primal fear. This film does it so well. We see just enough of the xenomorph to protect its believability while providing us terror on screen. The lighting and extraordinary cuts help perfect this. Now, finally, I want to talk about a theory I have regarding the final scene of this film. I love the way the alien is hiding on the pod. I believe the previous scene when Ripley comes across the alien and retreats and leaves Jones the cat lying in the box. If you take notice, the alien is shown looking down into the box at the cat. Now, my theory is that this is where the alien forms the plan to hide inside the pod to protect itself. And if you look at the climax, the alien does appear to be in survival mode. You pair that with my thoughts on how Ripley being caught off guard in her underwear signifies her vulnerability. This scene feels so personal and primal and instinctive on both parts. Both of these beings are trying to survive. I love it. It is so effective.
So there you have it. That's my take on Alien. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get in to some more fun on today's episode. I don't know about you, but I love true crime. Some episodes are very hard to listen to because of the content, but if you want a podcast that does it really well, it's You Run Podcast True Crime. With their recent three-part episode on Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, as well as some great episodes on Slender Man and so much more, you need to check it out today. I have loved listening to mysterious podcasts on true crime for so long now, and you really should check this out if you're a fan of that type of content as well. So run on over to YouRunPodcast.com and check out that show along with all the great shows of the network. Okay, now let's jump over to podcast highlights. So it's important to me as a podcaster to shout out some other podcasts that I really enjoy, and some of them have really shown me a lot of support too. So as a thank you, and just the fact that I believe in these shows, I wanted to do a couple highlights like I've done before. So starting with You Run Podcast, Horror Movie Review, recent episodes on Beetlejuice, The Descent, and When Evil Lurks. A movie that I'm not sure that I'm interested in seeing, but another great episode from all the guys over there. Dewey Pod Monster with recent episodes on Iron Claw, and as a wrestling fan, I love the episode Scream 2 and Late Night with the Devil. You're Gonna Eat That Crust, Trends of the 1980s, and Video Games and Pizza Flavored Beer. That's right, the flavor of beer that you never knew you needed, but definitely want. Movies for Days with Death Proof, Deep Star 6, and a great episode on Clerks. Film Shake, an excellent episode on movies 8mm and The Other Sister. And a hilarious episode you got to check out, and really giving some love to an underappreciated film in 8mm. Also a recent episode on Bringing Out the Dead and End of Days. Pop Culture 5 with an amazing Nine Inch Nails episode. I love their concept of their pop culture blind spots on introducing your co-host to something they don't know a whole lot about but should check out. It's a fun premise. Also great episodes on Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes and John Hughes movies. Over at the Bad Movie Cult we have April, which was ape-related films in the month of April, and a shit ton of fun. Episode on Night of the Bloody Apes and a movie called Shaq Ma, or I should say, Shaq Ma! Sorry, I probably scared you, but I tried to do justice to that episode. All right, totally 80s and 90s recall with an excellent episode on the crazy-ass action film Over the Top, and also an episode on 1990s Billboard rock hits. And shout out to David, I hate Rush as well. Okay, and I wanted to highlight the horror-friendly podcast, another great member of the You Run Podcast Network. Such a great show. Recent episodes on Hereditary, a movie I hate, but a great episode. And one of my beloved Friday the 13th sequels, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Katie and Chantel have such great personalities, chemistry, and passion for talking horror films. And with that, I find their show to be both entertaining and somehow comforting. Ladies, you do such a great job. Go check out their podcast immediately. All right. To finish up this episode, the segment is back, everybody, whether you like it or not. We're talking about This Week in Pop Culture History for Baywatch and Up All Night. This week in 1994, 30 years ago. May 9th, 1994, Season 4, Episode 21 of Baywatch, entitled Trading Places. In this episode, Stephanie goes to work with the Coast Guard to help crack an arms smuggling ring in the area and becomes attracted to a warrant officer, Scott Daniels, who tries to persuade her to overcome her fear of helicopters after she begins having nightmares of her father being killed in action in a helicopter crash in Vietnam over 25 years ago. That's a mouthful. Another crazy ass episode. Man, Baywatch is a fucking classic. Okay. Over on USA's Up All Night, May 7th, 1994, the movies Party Camp and Cheerleader Camp, starting with Party Camp from 1987, directed by Gary Graver, a name that sounds made up, and I did not look up his other films, nor are you going to make me do any more research on this film to find out. The movie was starring Andrew Ross, no idea who he is, Kerry Wall, much of the same, Dean R. Miller, and Billy Zane of Cujo and the Burbs fame. Synopsis: a teenage boy takes a job as a counselor at a summer camp. He finds that the camp is run like a military training camp, and he resolves to turn it into Party Central. 4.1 rating out of 10 on IMDb. And Cheerleader Camp from 1988, directed by John Quinn, starring Betsy Russell from Private School and eventually Mrs. Kramer in the Saw sequels. And Leif fucking Garrett. A group of cheerleaders become the targets of an unknown killer at a remote summer camp. Not going to lie, I think I might want to check this one out. 4.6 out of 10 rating on IMDb. And once again, I would not be surprised if either one of these shows is covered eventually by the Bad Movie Cult, or possibly this might be right up the alley for Dewey Pod Monster. They may have already. I better go back and check the catalog. Well, everybody, this was a lot of fun talking about one of my favorite movies, Alien. It was so great to go to the theater and see it the way it's meant to be seen. If you have enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It would help us to reach new listeners. You can interact with the show on email at popculturereflectionspod. It's been a long day. popreflectionspod@gmail.com. Or you can hop over on X/Twitter and interact with us at popcultrefpod, or on Instagram at popculturereflectionspodcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again. I appreciate all of you. Take care of yourselves. I'll talk to you again soon.